This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, this is a big night. And how many times over the last week and a half have we started off the show by saying that?
Like 2 weeks in a row.
This is a big flipping night, okay? The Warriors are in Phoenix, but the Grizzlies tip off in an hour and 45 minutes. And then the Timberwolves and Bucks, they're going to tip off at 5 o'clock. And the Lakers and Thunder at 5 o'clock. And then the Spurs and the Clippers at 7:30. The Nuggets don't have a coach. Here we go. Big, big night on 95.7 The Game. Glad you're with us, Willard and Dibs. John Bloom, the voice of the Suns, is going to join us in exactly 2 hours. There's no Kevin Durant tonight. 888-957-9570. Give us a call on anything that that we're chatting about here with the Warriors and beyond. Listen, I just feel like this conversation somehow came out of prisoner of the momentville. Like, can I start off the show by once again circling back to thank Mike Dunleavy and Jimmy Butler for being here. I was wrong. What a wonderful, wonderful trade. Thank God he's here. Everything he's done has been as close to perfect as sports will allow. And I am 100% behind Jimmy Butler making the decisions that he makes on a basketball court because they have largely been near perfect since he arrived. I don't care who scores the basketball as long as they're wearing Warriors jerseys. I don't care who scores the basketball.
Okay.
Are you here?
I'm here.
Oh,
I didn't know
hi.
If you normally you go on for much longer and normally you make
okay.
Normally you make a bigger point about what you're trying to say. And for me, I don't care who scores the basketball, but when you have a game where your number one scorer of the basketball is clearly not scoring, I would look to Jimmy Butler to be a little bit more impactful. And for me, 7 shots, not enough. And yeah, 7 for 14. That was Pods, and it was GP2, and it was also Moody, I believe. No, I'm sorry, Buddy. They all went 7 of 14. Mm-hmm. That's great, but I feel like if Jimmy Butler was a little bit more downhill, a little bit more impactful, trying to actually score the basketball, get to the foul line in a game that was very physical, I thought that they would have had a better chance to win. Again, it's prisoner of the moment because, yes, when Buddy has been here, They're 21-5 in the games that they've played since he's been here, and that includes the game he didn't play, so 21-4. And if you count the games where Steph and he played, it's even better than that. So I'm not trying to make this an indictment on Jimmy Butler. I look at a game like that, and I think that's a time where playoff Jimmy, a guy who in Miami would shoot the ball a lot more, and I know he's not the one on this team,
yeah,
but
totally different team.
In a game where Steph Curry is your one, but Steph Curry's being like legitimately taken away. Steph Curry was a non-factor because Houston decided that would be the way it would go. That's when I look for Jimmy Butler to be more impactful. Yeah, that's all.
Did you know that he was second in the game in terms of free throw attempts the entire game?
With four, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Do you know how many free throw attempts there were in the entire game?
For the Warriors?
No, for the whole game.
Oh, not many. Yeah. Maybe 20? 25, yeah.
Yeah, because they weren't blowing the whistle. It doesn't matter that it was a physical game.
Okay.
Refs allowed it to be a physical game. This is actually much of the conversation that we had yesterday. Much of the conversation that happened after the game was Jimmy Butler saying, I can't believe that this is the way the league treats Steph Curry. I've never seen anything like this before, and I've been around for a long time. They weren't blowing the whistle. Like, again, I'm not here to... No one's perfect. No one's perfect. So on any given possession, decisions are made, and they're not going to be right 100% of the time. You and I have this conversation a lot about Steve Kerr with his rotations. And people call in, oh, this idiot Steve. He doesn't know what he's doing out there. All those rings must be getting in his way. He can't figure out how to coach a basketball team. And you and I have given him a lot of support based on the idea that, dude, when you put someone in the game, you don't know, like Buddy Hield, do I know if he's going to be hitting his shot or not? I don't know. We got to check. Got to find out. So, Jimmy, same thing on a possession where the ball is in Jimmy Butler's hands. He's going to drive, and in a split moment, he has to decide. Am I going to try to get to the free throw line? I do know that the officials are not blowing those whistles tonight. Or am I going to swing it around and hope to get the ball to an open three-point shooter because I got three role players tonight who are hitting their shots? And he's not always going to make the right decision, but my God, I, the fan, would love that decision to be in his hands all the time because he's really good at it. Really good at it. And the only reason the Warriors have won so many games since he arrived is because he's really good at it. So just surprising to me that after an absolutely sparkling week where they did enough that I had to put paint all over my face, that somehow they lost one basketball game by 10 points when a really, really good basketball team came in and shoved them around while they were tired. And then we're going to spend the week asking Jimmy to be a different player? I don't get it. I don't understand why there isn't more in his, like, more emotion in his corner after what he's achieved in a short time.
No, there's plenty of emotion in his corner, but I'm just looking at the games that he's played as a Warrior, and I look at when he's been less than impactful in terms of a plus minus, and he was a minus 17 against Dallas. They lost. He was minus 7 against Orlando. They won. Minus 9 against Denver. They lost. Minus 19 against Miami. They lost. And the Miami game was one where you scratched your head because we all thought Jimmy Butler revenge game, and Jimmy went out and he was 5 of 12 and he had 11 points and he was a minus 19 and you didn't have Steph, but we thought that maybe he would take over. And he didn't. He was a minus 1 against L.A. Big deal, minus 1. They won that game. And then he was a minus 18 against Houston. They lost. I look at when he is good, when he plays really well, and in the Jimmy minutes where the team does better than normal, they're going to win the game. And so I look at the Houston game, and again, small sample, not a big deal. They're right there in the playoff chase, 46-32. I get it, but I just wonder about the game against Houston where Steph was a non-factor because they took him out of the game and Jimmy Butler didn't make that real impact to try to win the basketball game with his skills. That's all.
The takeover. Can we focus on that for a second?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Takeover for me is you get the ball in a spot where you can score and you score.
I think that's...
Or you try to score.
That's sort of like the movie script fan in us. That's not most of the time. That's not what wins a basketball game. It might be what wins a championship. In other words, like normally outside of the Detroit Pistons when they beat the Lakers, the Spurs to a certain degree. Usually the NBA championship does ride on the absolute greats of the game being their greatest. Although even they, like, we can say game four Steph, and you all know exactly what I mean, because in that series where they won the championship, he did that once. He did one time.
Yep.
He didn't take over all the games. He took over one game. So this idea that, like, the great has to come in and take over and be the dog and show everybody who's under the thumb and that whole thing, I don't know, man. I don't really buy into it. It's great if you got that going. If you're having one of those nights and you visit what we like to call the zone, then, dude, rock out. Go ahead for it. But, like, that's not great basketball. That's not, like, it's the antithesis of what we've fallen in love with Warrior basketball through the years, which is the ball movement and the orchestration of the whole thing is tremendous. I am not in on the game plan being, hey, you, here's the ball. Go be God. What? I don't understand the desire to even go for that. That's not a good basketball plan.
It's not about him being God. It's about him being more like who he has been throughout his career. And you look at his Warrior career, he's averaging 11 shots a game, and he shot 7 times against Houston. And when you have a game when Steph Curry is not shooting it very often, he's not shooting it very well, and you're looking for a secondary score, for me, that's the time where Jimmy Butler should be able to get to his spot and get shots and get to the foul line and try to create something for himself. And yeah, he helped create for others, as did Steph, and you had a good game from Buddy Hield. Didn't matter, you still lost. You had a good game from Moody and good game from GP2. And for me, if you're going to win a game like that, a knockdown, drag out, rock fight, that's where you're going to want Jimmy Butler to try to get to the foul line and be impactful going into the basket and take more shots.
Yeah, but they weren't blowing the whistle.
Well, we don't know if Jimmy would have gotten more fouls if he would have attacked the basket more. Right?
He attacks the basket literally every time he touches the ball. He just passes out of there a lot because that penetration and kicking is how you create an open shot.
Yep.
Most possessions in the NBA. That's usually what he does. Now, if he wants to try to, like, force that ball up and get a foul, you're kind of trusting those three guys with the whistles to blow the darn thing, and they largely weren't doing it. That feels kind of strategic to me. But I'd love to hear from Warrior fans out there. Is this, like, do you want Jimmy Butler to do something different than he did Sunday? Different when we reach the playoffs? Are you waiting for Jimmy Butler to be something other than sort of what he's been since arriving with the Warriors? Let's get into this conversation. We'd love to talk to you. 888-957-957 is the number. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. 888-957-957. We'll take your phone calls next. This is Willard and Dibbs.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Sorry about my dog. Hey, cut it out.
I don't know if we've met your dog yet, Steve.
Sounds like she's a stretch four. Got some size to her in that bark.
More of a backup point guard.
On 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr's got a good laugh.
Yeah.
He had a good laugh.
And I pride myself on getting him to laugh.
Yeah, that's a big part. Yeah. I think that's a big part of life. You got a good laugh.
Yeah.
That makes other people laugh, even if they don't know what the hell they're laughing
and
at.
You have a...
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right? You do
crazy.
Have a great laugh.
Well, like, if you really...
And
if
you're quick to laugh.
If I do. I like
even
to
when
laugh.
Things aren't funny.
Oh, right.
Which hurts me sometimes because I think I'm being funny and you'll just laugh. And I look and it's like, it's Friday at 5.
Yeah, it's not...
That wasn't funny at all. Friday at 5, like, everything's funny.
It's not fake.
No, it's real.
I'm like, there's a great line by Nirvana, and now that we know what happened with Kurt Cobain.
Oh, geez. Spoiler alert.
Well, it's a pretty, like, think about the line that he said in one of his songs, I wish I was like you, easily amused. And now we know, obviously, Kurt ended up taking his own life.
Right.
Right? But, like,
I think Steiny actually sang that on the air one time. I don't know if we have that, but.
You're right. Didn't you?
Yeah.
Or did he just do the moan?
No, he did the whole thing.
Anyway, point is, yeah, I am. I'm very easily amused.
Yeah.
I'm very easily amused.
Which is good. It's sure. actually a
Do you want to hear what I put together when he started singing that song?
I've never wanted to hear anything more in my life.
All right, here it is. Let's see. I don't remember exactly how this sounded, but here it is.
Yeah, it was very good, Steiny.
I can't remember. I guess we actually had that direct conversation. I don't even
It was a crossover.
Yeah.
2023, maybe.
I remember
Randy
now.
Randy will know
the 2024.
Date. Okay. Yeah, okay. I knew it. Like, go ahead and buzz me because, you know.
August 23rd, 2024.
All right. So not even a year ago.
6 months ago.
It was magic. More like eight, but that's fine. And, you know, wonderful.
Yeah.
And
I love that line. It stuck with me, obviously.
Yes. And you
apparently I've brought it up on the radio twice now.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
You are easily amused, and it's great. And, you know, I'm not easily infuriated, not to make it about Jimmy Butler.
Not anymore.
I'm not infuriated.
Not anymore.
I'm just a little bit.
You know what it would be if you were?
It was an infuriation sensation.
Cha-ching!
And I've come a long way from those days of being quick to be angry, and I'm not angry about the Houston loss. I'm basking in 3-1, and I'm just curious about the Jimmy Butler that we're seeing, and like why Jimmy Butler has not yet shifted into playoff Jimmy.
Can I throw some numbers?
Go ahead.
You want me to do that? Since Jimmy Butler has joined the Warriors, you know, how many times do you think he shot the ball more than 15 times in a game?
I would say probably once.
It's a good guess. I've got the answer as
I got it, Randy.
Twice.
Don't worry about it.
Twice. Do you know how many times he shot the ball less than 10 times?
Probably 5 or 6. I'd say 5.
8.
Yeah.
So what you saw Sunday was much closer to the norm than the opposite, I would argue. Like, that was not out of character. Again, 4 for 7, the exact same thing he did in L.A., and I, like, just me and Goo, I know you're probably listening. You know how much I love you. That's disingenuous to be like, yeah, but they won. Well, wait a minute. You didn't know that you were going to win until there was 20. Actually, that game was frightening until there was 10 seconds left to go. You're in it. During the game, they didn't know they were going to lose against Houston. He is continually just trying to make the best basketball play. I find him very good at it. I find him absolutely delightful with the Warriors. I've noticed this thing that keeps happening when he plays with Steph. They win almost every single time. So that's all. This is just me feeling surprised that I've heard so much angst about the way Jimmy Butler goes about his business after they went through the gauntlet and went 3-1 because people didn't like the second half on Sunday.
It's no angst.
It's just odd.
Something that I'm, you know, raising an eyebrow toward, thinking about, you know, what might potentially be coming when Steph Curry has a game like that. And you mentioned all the games where he shot fewer than 10 times, and I'm looking at it. He shot 9 times against Dallas. You won by 24.
Mm-hmm.
He shot 8 times against Charlotte. You won by 36, and he played 19 minutes. So there's context to all of this. He shot 7 times against Orlando, and he was patently not very good.
Yeah.
And you still won the game.
Yeah, Steph went for 56.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So all of this has context, and you know, you could look at 2 of 5 against Sacramento. They won by 26, and a lot of these games where he went 4 of 5 against San Antonio.
Okay, but
they won by 42.
Right,
so what are we doing here with the numbers?
No, because you're saying that as if when they win by 25, that's why he didn't shoot. I'd argue they won by 25 because of his brilliance throughout. So many of those games you're talking about, his assist totals are 8 or above. That's why they're beating teams so handily.
They're beating these teams anyway, is the point.
No, they sucked before he got here.
They beat San Antonio by 42.
Dibs,
is that because Jimmy Butler was throwing dimes?
You're picking one game.
I picked 6 games.
No,
I just gave you 6 in a row.
I'll pick all the games.
Pick
they sucked before he got here, and now they're awesome.
So they were 12-3 to start the year. Did that suck, Mark?
Dibs.
Mark, be fair.
That was 100 years ago, and you know it.
It was this season.
Yes, and that was was lifetimes ago.
It was all because of D'Anthony Melton is what it was.
No, it wasn't. It was lifetimes ago in terms of their roster structure, their rotation, everything. You're not arguing with me on the larger point. They sucked before he got here, and now they're good.
You're not arguing that. I'm not arguing that they aren't better, but I am arguing that they sucked before that. They didn't suck.
They were a 500 club. Yeah, that because of their 12-3 start, they went through an extended period where they were terrible.
Slightly below 500. They didn't suck. They still would have been a 10 seed.
If they're 25-25 and they started 12-3, what does that mean they were after 12-3?
That means they were 13-22.
Sucked.
Well,
sucked.
Still good enough to be, and you know, you have to take the whole thing in totality.
Seed. They were the 11.
Right. They were, you know, probably on the cusp of being a 10 seed.
Oof.
So to say that they sucked is, I think it's a little bit harsh.
Dude, they sucked.
A little unfair.
For 2 months, they sucked.
Well, they were.
They sucked.
They were subpar,
yes.
For sure. And, you know, you had stretches where you didn't have everybody in the lineup and all the rest of it. And whatever it was. It's what happened, so I'm not making excuses. They are better now.
They're so much better.
But they're extraordinarily a lot better when Jimmy Butler decides to not be Andrew Wiggins. That's all I'm saying.
I have not seen 1 second of Andrew Wiggins' demeanor from Jimmy Butler. And he would probably punch you if he heard you say that. Like, there's not one comp from Andrew Wiggins to Jimmy Butler in my mind. Let's go to the calls. Let's also say, hey, Dub Nation, let's get engaged, okay? Before every game, you can vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page, brought to you by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler, where you'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings and their unmatched free lifetime warranty. Free lifetime warranty. That sounds pretty good. Visit ShaneCoe.com today. All right, with the playoffs right around the corner, do you believe we're going to see a different Jimmy Butler in the postseason? Head to 95.7 The Game's Twitter page and vote now. We'll read the results of the poll throughout and at the end of the show. Do you believe we're going to see a different Jimmy Butler in the postseason? How would you answer that? I say no. I sure hope not.
Oh, we'd better.
Oh.
We'd absolutely better because you need a second score.
You don't like 21-3, huh?
I do like 21-3, and you're cherry picking on games where Steph and he both played because
that's their team. They're not good enough without both of them out there.
Right.
I know that's not a cherry pick. That's their two best players. Everybody needs their best players.
But if you want to look at the games where he has been a negative in plus minus, they have a losing record. So I don't want the Jimmy Butler that we saw against Houston. He was a minus 19 against Miami. He was bad. They lost. No Steph.
No Steph.
Minus 9 against Denver. He was pretty good. They lost.
Yeah.
Minus 7 against Orlando, they won. Minus 17 against Dallas, they lost. And I know Kyrie went crazy, and so we can chalk that up to Kyrie going bananas. But I want to see Jimmy Butler be their number 2 scorer, which is not what he was against Houston. He was their number 6 scorer. And if he's that player that he was against Houston,
your
first
scorer?
Round out.
Number 6 scorer?
In that game against Houston?
Number 4.
Okay. That's much better.
4 players in double digits. Four players in double digits.
Then I take it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he outscored Steph by 10 points. Interesting you'd come down
right.
Jimmy's road.
Well, I can come down Steph's road, but I would tip my cap to Houston. So Houston takes away Steph Curry, and now you look at what you have, and you're going to rely on Pods and GP2 and Buddy Hield.
This feels so much more like strategic than I think it actually is. A team is not like, okay, Steph's struggling. Let's call timeout. All right, Jimmy, you're next. So you go be the dog. And if that doesn't work, then we're going to go. No, like they play basketball. And on every possession, the ball ends up where the ball ends up as you try to create a good shot. The ball starts in Jimmy's hands, and then it goes from there. And yes, you have an approach, but like what the defense is doing to you then calls for you to make a certain move. It's not like they know who's shooting the ball before they even like cross half court. So like, yeah, if it's the right play, shoot it. But if it's not, if it's the wrong play, then don't.
Right.
Find somebody else who's open. No.
Was it the right play? Like when you're minus 18.
Yeah, that's cherry picking.
No, that's not cherry picking. Yeah, we're talking about a game.
Right, but
we're talking about a game where Jimmy Butler did not do anything, right, impactful.
They got outplayed.
Right.
Like you can't go.
He got outplayed and he capitulated.
They all did. You're making it sound like the plus minus is what determines the outcome of the game, and I'd argue it's the other way around. The outcome of the game is what determines the plus minus. They got outplayed by the Houston Rockets for a bevy of reasons.
Right.
I'd argue that his reason is the best. They turned the ball over 20 times and played a sloppy basketball game. They didn't get a wonderful whistle. And their best player had the worst night of his entire year, I'd argue.
Right.
So, like, does that mean, okay, Jimmy, take over against one of the best defenses in the league? That's the easiest thing. That's what they're hoping for. Jimmy, just get tunnel vision and score? Like, no, dude.
No, what they're hoping for is
basketball
plays. They're hoping for Steph to be taken out and for your number two scorer to decide that he's not going to be impactful. And so Houston's like, whatever he is, Houston's looking at it like, okay, Buddy and Pods and GP2, you go ahead and have career nights, all three of you, and maybe we'll be worried. But Jimmy Butler basically, in my opinion, made it easy on Houston by not being more impactful, attacking the basket, getting to the foul line. He was all too eager to just, you know, get the ball out of his hands. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I did not see that at all. And I don't care who scores. The leading scorer in the game was Dylan Brooks. I'd come up with nine people who, quote unquote, should score more than Dylan Brooks. But that's who scored for the Rockets that night.
Yeah.
So that's how the Warriors should play. And they do. If it's Pods one night, great. Pods was amazing in L.A. Score 30, bro. Do it. Win the game. I don't need Willy Adames to get every hit for the Giants. I don't care. I don't care who scores.
Well, baseball and basketball are different.
And football. They're all different. But like the strategy of basketball is not here, dude, go score. That's not what the Warriors are trying to do. Why would you even practice?
No.
If that's what you're doing. Here, dude, go score. You're awesome.
But when your best player has a down night, you're looking for somebody else to step up and fill the void. And, yeah, they had three role players do pretty well, and it still wasn't enough. And so I look to the other scorer, a guy who is a Hall of Famer, a guy who has shot the ball a lot more when he was with Miami, when he was the one. And when your one is being taken away, that's when I look at a $51 million a year guy and say, all right, it's your time, dude. Go carry us. And he didn't.
When I asked you there in the crossover, what was the money thing? That's kind of what I was getting at.
Right.
He's paid that money to play great basketball.
Sure. Did he play great basketball against Houston?
I guess I'd argue no, but he was absolutely nowhere near the first person I'd point to as to, wow, he played terrible, so they lost. I mean, not at all. Again, he turned it over one time.
Sure.
Pods 4, Curry 4, Draymond 4. Curry scored 3 points. Draymond had 2. Like, I'm going to get mad at Jimmy Butler. Like,
he's not
paid that to go be a 30-point-per-night guy. He's paid that because he's a great basketball player who does wonderful things with the ball in his hands. And that means scoring, it means foul line, it means passing, it means decision making throughout the process. And he's been incredible at doing it with the Warriors to the point where they've won just about most of the games that they've played since he arrived.
But not on Sunday.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know,
not on Sunday.
We're talking about Sunday.
Well,
so
no, we're not.
I'm talking about Sunday.
But we're talking about Jimmy Butler.
I'm talking about Jimmy Butler on Sunday.
But you've referenced at least 12 different games just in this conversation. So you can't suddenly make it only about that day.
And those other games, it didn't matter because you beat San Antonio by 45 and you won by 28, so that doesn't matter.
But you referenced games that they've lost. Like, I don't know why.
I'm not expecting him to be spectacular every game and for them to win every game. I'm just looking at Sunday when Steph Curry is clearly taken out of the game and the only shot he makes is a 37-foot prayer. That's a game where I would look to my number two scorer and say, all right, this is a game where you're going to be playoff Jimmy and you're going to shift into that mode, and I didn't see it.
Your argument sounds like you want, and you did, vote for, you said they better. He better be different in the playoffs. That's not focusing on one game. That's focusing.
Well, if he's not better in the playoffs, they're out in the first round.
Yeah, no, I disagree. If they're exactly who he has been since his arrival, they're one of the favorites. If they are exactly what they've been since the trade deadline, then they are one of the best teams in the NBA, and they're one of the favorites. I am not going to pick on a night when one of the greatest players who has ever put on a pair of sneakers went 1-for-10 and scored 3 points. Go find some other guy in the locker room and point to him and say, you better be better, on a night when you lost to a 2 seed by 10 points in the middle of total exhaustion after going through a gauntlet. That just feels like we're pointing in the wrong place. That's how I feel.
Well, I'm not pointing it at him. I'm pointing it at all of them.
Of course we are. We're like our conversations about Jimmy Butler.
Exactly. And so to the extent of Jimmy Butler, when he plays like that, when Steph Curry is not having a good game, and in fact he's having one of the worst games he's had in his past 10 years, and I can pull out the list again, there are 17 games he's had in the last 10 years where he hasn't reached double digits, and 5 of those he's gotten hurt. So of the other 12 games where he didn't get 10 points, they are rare and alarming, and most of those are games where they lost by 50. And so Steph only played about 20 minutes because they were down big and they pulled the plug. So in a game like that, which Steph was not good, he was bad, and it was competitive, that's where you look to somebody else to step up, and he didn't.
Yeah, again, all of these phrases I wholeheartedly disagree with. He didn't, quote, step up. He wasn't, quote, aggressive.
No.
All of these words, in my opinion, are being misused here. Like, even when they asked him, should you be more aggressive out there? And his answer was, maybe, maybe not.
Right.
I thought that's a great answer. Because, like, what do you even mean by aggressive? Why does aggressive have to equal scoring? Aggressive, to me, means playing ball, dude. Like, get the ball and try to make something happen. That can mean passing, leadership, free throws, scoring the basketball, I don't know, getting in the ears of the official, working with the coach. Like, lack of aggression to me means passivity. And that's why I hate when you're bringing up Wiggins' name next to Butler's. I see no similarities at all between Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler when you're talking about, like, that engagement in a basketball game. I have not seen Jimmy, maybe if you want to make the argument of the game in Miami, but I have not seen Jimmy just out on the court looking like, kind of here, kind of not. Like, I just have not seen that at all, not in my eyes. Let's go to Pat in San Jose. Hey, Pat, thanks for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Hey, Willard and Dibs. I just thought, when I saw that Houston game, I said, oh, man, the Warriors going to have trouble if they ever face this team. But then the beauty is they played them early. I mean, still, at the end of the season, so it's not even the playoffs. But this is a game you can use it as a blueprint to figure out what you could do when this type of defense comes at you.
Pat, and your phone's a little wonky there, but thank you very much for the call. I also don't take from Sunday night that the Rockets have some sort of a blueprint. I really don't. Like, that was Sunday night.
Yeah.
That was our basketball
game. Anthony Slater said, absolutely, it's a blueprint.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I don't see it that way. I see the Warriors as being a very, very flexible machine that has got so many smart basketball players. They'll work with that. You know what I mean? Like, this is the same Rockets team that Jimmy Butler's Warriors went in there the night before the All-Star break and beat them up. They dominated them. Same team. So, like, I get it. They've got some pieces clearly that will give the Warriors athletic problems. But I feel like, I don't know, don't you think that's something we've been talking about for years? The Warriors' lack of size and athleticism. Well, at the same time, a dynasty happened. And I understand that Durant was a part of some of that and all that, but you get what I'm saying. The Warriors have been way more successful than just about anybody else. So this lack of size and athleticism thing has much more often not been a problem than it has.
Yeah, depends on the matchup. And, when Houston comes in here and they play that hard on defense and they shoot it as well as they did, and you mentioned Dylan Brooks, and he had basically a career game, and I'm looking at the previous matchup that you referenced, and Dylan Brooks had 9 points in 21 minutes, actually had 7 points, and Jalen Green had 9 points. Yep. On 3 of 10, and Şengün was 4 of 10, and Amen Thompson was 2 of 7. So all of their starters in that game at home, they were ordinary or below par. So when you come in and you play defense like they did and you shoot it like they did, you're going to win.
Totally.
Now, does it mean that that's a blueprint to stop Steph? Probably not, because, Steph ultimately is going to be able to get free, and he had 27 in that previous matchup, and Jimmy Butler actually shot the ball 15 times. So there you go, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Feel free to shoot it 15 times.
No, they were extraordinary. Dylan Brooks went 10 of 13, And Jalen Green, 9 of 19. Amen Thompson, 7 of 14. Even Shangoon, 7 of 17. Got to the free throw line for 10 attempts. Like, they were extraordinary in that game. And won. And they're a very, very good basketball team. I don't think they've somehow unlocked the key to taking down Golden State. And oh, by the way, the Warriors better not play Houston in round one, because if they do, that means they ended up in the play-in tournament. So that's why I don't want Houston. Not because they're a bad matchup. I don't want Houston because it means they did not get a top six seed. That's my answer there. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, here for your calls. All right, Fred and T, some others are coming on in. 888-957-9570. More of your calls next on Willard and Dibs.